I met Lovey through a neighbor named Justin. I guess it was probably mid-2010, maybe beginning of 2010. I was looking for a house cleaner and just mentioned it to my neighbor. He spoke highly of someone named Lovey. He said he found her on Craigslist. Called her, and she started cleaning my house once every, you know, week or two. You know, she's quiet and very little. She did tell me that she did speak like about how much she liked like the water, because we have that in common. We love the water and fishing and the beach and things like that. She told me that she had lived in the Keys before. When I first met her, she told me that she had worked like on fishing boats in the Keys, and that she was actually, she told me she was a fishing captain down there. And then as I got to know her, you know, after someone comes to your house once a week, once every 2 weeks, you get to know her or get to know them more. And she started getting a little more personal, telling me about a boyfriend that she was living with here in Pensacola named Jim, and how things weren't going well. We describe her as like a beach bum type hippie. She was just kind. She always called me sweetie. She was thoughtful. She was a great housemate when she moved in with me. She just never caused any problems. She was, you know, she didn't get in your way or anything like that. You know, she was just really accommodating and sweet. I was friends with her. You know, I was friends with her. I did things with her on the weekends, and we spent time together. You know, it wasn't for, like, she wasn't being, you know, she wasn't giving me the information just because she wanted. It was really after she moved in, and we would just have conversations, and I would ask her questions about her past life. Like, as far as her marriage, she said that she was a widow. She did. I don't remember how he died, but she was a widow, and we did a lot together.
There is a script. We all know it. The true crime script.
The cliché?
It's a script. A lot of things have scripts. Yeah. You just don't think of it as a script, but it's a script.
Yeah.
And it's the screenwriter in me talking. A devoted mother goes missing. Her children are left heartbroken. But as the podcast host unspools the facts behind the case, it starts to become familiar. Those details we are all accustomed to. Sure, she was a doting mom. But there was also the pending and bitter divorce. The husband who shies away from the media spotlight and isn't very helpful in the search. Maybe a rumor of a rather juicy life insurance policy.
Hmm.
And it's usually just about this point that the police make a quote-unquote terrifying discovery in a remote field. We know this script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is that script, partly.
Well, something extra.
There's also something in there stranger altogether.
Yeah.
Today's episode is the odd story of the disappearance of Brenda Heist.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as always by
Vincent Caldoni.
And we've got a shocking disappearance story for you. I'm going to skip ahead. What happened is she was gone for years, and then one day a UFO pulled up and booted her out to the curb. And, well, she's back.
Spoil it all.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. So let's see here. Let me go here. It's 2002, the year. Brenda Heist was in the thralls of a no-holds-barred divorce. You know, these can get ugly. I've not seen that much information about exactly what caused the marriage to break up.
I didn't find that either. I've never seen that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, Lee Heist, the husband, was successful from a good family. And Brenda was 42 years old at the time. She was a devoted mom and had very little money of her own, unfortunately. She doesn't appear to have ever had much of a career. She just was a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
Involved in the kids' school and in her church and all that stuff. But yeah, no career to speak of. So the divorce was, that's rough on a woman like that, you know, when you've got no real means of support. So tough times for Brenda.
The divorce, though, it was taking its toll on this poor woman. While Lee went for broke in legal proceedings, she was left with no home of her own.
Oh, ouch. With
no income, really. She felt her only option was to apply to the state of Pennsylvania for rental assistance.
So he had booted her out then? Is that my understanding?
Yeah. Well, you really have to read between the lines, so I could be dead wrong on this. It looks like Lee initiated the divorce, that it was something he wanted, and that she, I don't know that she was like out on the street, but that she was not going to have a place to live. He was insisting she leave the home.
Yeah. The date was coming. When she was going to get the boot. Okay. What happens that day? That fateful day.
She went to the caseworker's office in Lititz, I don't know how you say that, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to see what services would be available for her. And there were none.
That's weird.
No, it happens.
I guess. Okay.
Rental assistance is pretty tough to come by.
Is it? Well, yeah. I guess that's why I don't have any. So the day that she was turned down for rental assistance was also the day that she disappeared.
Yeah.
And this day probably would have been a low point because, you know, as we've already, she had no income of her own, no resume, no qualifications. So she now had to worry about not only housing herself, but also her kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, the chances of winning any partial custody without even an address seemed kind of remote, much less what she was looking for. She wanted primary custody of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But she would probably wind up with zero custody whatsoever if she was homeless and living under a bridge somewhere, right?
Witnesses last saw Brenda in a nearby park sitting on a bench by herself. And then just like that, she was gone.
Hmm.
There really was no more evidence than I've given you, at least not at first. There were no big signs of a struggle, no note or no communication left behind. Her car was left nearby and it was undisturbed.
Now, that's weird. If she's going to take off, she should have taken her car. So maybe she didn't take off, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we got here? We got a mystery disappearing woman.
Yeah.
The local sheriff's department, that would be Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, didn't have much to work with. She was law-abiding, church-going, apparently an exemplary mother, and she just had vanished, and this story, naturally, as you can imagine, began to take off in local media.
Oh, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course. She vanished into thin air in the middle of a divorce, and so there were a lot of theories floating around.
Well, I want to change it up, so let's do the theory section now.
Okay.
Because this is a mystery I'm going to tell you in advance that's arguably solved, though I still have a lot of questions.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, a lot. So let's talk theories.
Okay.
Let's off with theory number one. Theory number one did it.
No. Theory number one is aliens. It's always aliens, dude. But
that's theory number four.
Oh, is it? Okay. The husband. Okay. So the husband, Lee Heist, had a lot to gain from Brenda, you know, going away. It actually accomplished a lot of his goals in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So, but he is now the default custodial parent. So cool. That legal and, by the way, expensive struggle has been taken off the table for him. That's pretty handy. He also didn't have to worry anymore about paying alimony because he was the sole breadwinner. She was a stay-at-home mom. So yeah, he would have had to pay alimony, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, he had an airtight alibi. I believe he was at work that day when she disappeared.
That's my speculation. I've never heard what his alibi was, but it was in the middle of the workday.
Yeah. So that probably is what it is. But there were rumors, local rumors persisting that he had a substantial life insurance policy on Brenda. So yeah, yet another bit of motive there, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And actually it turns out that he did have a life insurance policy on her.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little press conference video of him, and he did admit to it. I shouldn't say admit to it. He was asked. He said, "Yeah, there was a life insurance policy," and he was asked how much, and he didn't want to say.
Yeah.
So I assume it was a substantial amount of money, right? If it had been $20,000, he would have just said so. Don't you think? He just said, "Yeah, I had life insurance on her, but it was $20,000." People, it was not that big of a deal. Not that much money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I think the evidence is, and especially because I think Lee Heist, I don't know what he was doing back in 2002, but he seems to be doing pretty well for himself. So I think, I think he had some money. Mm-hmm. He probably had a more substantial policy.
Yeah. And so, the life insurance added a little bit of motive there. Also another reason he was everybody's favorite suspect is he pretty much avoided the media for the most part. he seemed, and people interpreted that as him seeming kind of secretive, or at least, you know, kind of private. You know, which you could read either, you know, I mean, probably there's a feeding frenzy going on in the media. You probably would just sort of avoid them, but some people saw that as suspicious anyway. Maybe still do. I don't know.
Your rumors still persist weirdly enough about Lee Heiss. He took a hit to the reputation.
His kids suffered from it too, you know? It could be that he had something to do with Brenda's disappearance. A lot of people are right. Mm-hmm. Seems, right. Yeah, I, you know.
Okay. So we've got theory number two.
Oh, this is a good one.
She ran off to start a new life.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, no one at the time really took seriously. Mm. She had roots in her community. She loved her kids. She never expressed any desire to, like, rid herself of her burdens. And she was actively pursuing custody of her kids and trying to establish a new home for them in the area. But we always have to include this one, and it's almost never the case.
Well, the other mark against this one is that she ran off to start a new life. She had no skills, no way to support herself. Whereas if she stayed put where she was, the divorce goes through, she is awarded alimony. And at least she's got some income and, you know, that to come in and support herself with.
Right.
So it made more sense to stay put than to run off and start a new life, in my humble opinion.
Right. Don't you think? Lord Lucan goes missing. That guy might have been able to get out of there with some money and have some connections who could help him out. But this is just a housewife with no money and no resume.
Yep. So, yeah. So I got to say this theory sucks. I like number one better.
I think it makes more sense.
But there's other theories, though. Number three here. Let me take this one, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Yeah. So she took her own life, perhaps, and that's plausible because she was at a low point. I mean, her marriage is breaking up. I'm sure that's rough on anybody. And she's going through a nasty custody battle here, right? She's also trying to keep a roof over her head. She's facing homelessness. I don't know. It seems like at that point, she couldn't even get rental assistance that day. And it seems like everything in her life had just come apart. Everything had unraveled for Brenda in a pretty short time. She had gone from having a pretty decent life, a nice stable home life with, you know, husband and kids and everything. And now it's all gone to hell, right down the toilet. And that would be the kind of thing that would drive people to suicide. Maybe she just couldn't carry on anymore. Mm-hmm. Of course, on the other hand, she left no note, although, you know, that's not unheard of. But you would think, you know, she loved her kids, reportedly at least. You'd think there would have been a word of goodbye to the kids, you know?
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem like Brenda. And she killed herself, of course. Where was the body? She left her car there. There's no record of her traveling anywhere from the park, like, you know, no plane tickets, train tickets, no taxi receipts. Nobody saw her on the bus or nobody saw her anywhere. So where the hell did she go?
Yeah.
I mean, if she was going to kill herself, I mean, her car should have been gone because, I mean, a bench in a public park is not the place to do it.
Well,
you want to drive to some remote place where there's a high cliff and you can jump off and then your corpse is eaten by bears.
Well, suicide is a fundamentally irrational act. Maybe it's not inconceivable that someone would take their life like on a park bench in the middle of the day. That's pretty grim. Kids could find you. But if some sicko did that, well, there'd be a body in the park.
There should
and
be.
They well, actually yeah. searched that park really like up and down multiple times to see if she was like, you know, buried there or off in the bushes. And nothing ever came of that.
Yeah. So, any other theories besides aliens?
Well, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
A random act of criminality.
Sure.
See, during the investigation, and I'm not sure at what point this happened, but at some point in the investigation, a witness came forward to say that they'd seen Brenda in the park speaking to three rough-looking people, two men and a woman. Could these people have done something to Brenda?
Okay.
Police couldn't identify who the three might have been. Of course, if her husband really was behind her appearance, maybe these three sketchy characters had been dispatched to carry out the deed. Or maybe they were just some, you know, randos who approached her, got her to come with them, and did something to her.
Yeah, maybe they offered her some candy. Yeah, that works. Well, don't ask me how I know that, but
That's why I get you to do this podcast with me.
Because I'm a sketchy guy. But these, you know, and of course, you know, probably they were hired killers, you know,
Right, right.
Hired by the hubby to, you know,
that is,
you know,
I mean, that,
dispose
that
of the old wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these, and besides, you know, these theories, there's, of course, aliens, and all those theories were debated by the locals for years.
Right.
And it got, this case, I think, got a small amount of national coverage, but very little, I think, for some reason, you know, it just varies. I think, if you're listening, Brenda, don't take this personally. I don't think you were quite young and cute enough to really get the juices flowing with the national media. I know. But if she had been like, say, you know, 20 years younger, you know, I think maybe this would have been a much bigger national story.
Yeah. Well,
I know that sounds cynical and harsh. I know, but you know.
No, I mean, there definitely is like a profile for what gets these stories going, and it is weirdly specific, right? Like,
uh-huh.
You have to be like
a hot chick.
You gotta have, well, yeah, that helps, you know, or something like, you know, a Gabby Petito or a Maura Murray to really get the wheels turning. And it's not like, when you look at old pictures of Brenda, it's not like she was some hideous person. She was,
no,
you know, a mother. She was a, you know, a good person. I guess she just lacked those, you know, the sort of Dateline NBC qualities that they're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, a lot of people disappear. I mean, people disappear all the time in this country, and very few of them become a national obsession.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brenda is just another one of those ones who didn't quite make the cut. Brenda. Yeah. But so anyway, so what happens? The case eventually goes cold. And then in 2010, oh, by the way, the case did go cold, but we, you know, according to police who investigated it, they never really gave up.
It was still
occasionally drag out the file and go through it and try to do whatever they could to follow up on it, because, you know, it's one of those nagging little things that really did weigh on some of those policemen who were investigating it.
Yeah, definitely. I know there was a guy named Schofield. I'm not sure when he first got on the case, but he stayed with it really pretty much through the end. I think he deserves a lot of credit for being like, no, I think we can find this lady.
Yeah, he devoted years to it. But let's see what else happened. Lee Heist, who was still technically Brenda's husband, in 2010 filed to have her declared legally deceased. And, but this, of course, aroused local suspicions even more, and gossip even, and rumors of this large insurance payout persisted. And as I said, there was an insurance payout. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was doing pretty well. So, by the way, he had himself a new wife. He had, of course, full custody of the kids, and still continued to have a successful career. But a lot of the people in his community suspected the worst of him. Not surprising.
The police had moved on from him in 2002, but with the transfer of the case to the cold case unit in 2008, fresh eyes were on him, and they were once again interviewing him.
Mm-hmm. But, probably following him and bugging his car at his house too, you know.
I mean, I don't know if they went that far, but you know, this is now years later and they're still sniffing around.
Yeah, giving him the old rubber hose treatment occasionally, you know. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Now it's right around this point where the case takes a real turn.
Mm.
But first,
a shocking turn, some of us might say.
But first, we've got to hear from some of the most incredible sponsors that have ever sponsored in the history of sponsorship.
Oh my God, these guys are so awesome.
So we'll be right back as soon as they're done telling you about their incredible and affordable products, whatever they are.
And they're great.
It's back from the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. And we're back. So, remember that twist we promised you? Yeah. Okay, so we got 1 through 4 theories. Okay, so we got husband, new life, suicide, and foul play. 1 through 4. So you got a favorite there, Vincent?
I don't know. I'm going to go with, well, I mean, if we were statistically to do it, I would go with number one.
Husband, that seems likely, although I would go with number three. Or foul play, just because I like foul play.
But that's probably the one I would be the most interested in hearing about.
The
correct answer is theory number two.
Yeah, ding 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 ding. Yeah, I know.
Actually, turned out to be the case for once.
Yeah, I know. How often does that happen? Practically never. I mean, a few times, but it's really rare that people disappear to start a new life. But
right,
it turns out that's actually what happened here. Believe it or not, really weird.
And again, I will say that I think that I don't think Brenda had a plan
No.
From everything I can gather, she wasn't like, I'm running away to join the circus and I'll never come home. I think she just kind of walked off and kept walking.
It was a spur of the moment thing. Yeah. It's getting weird. I mean, I don't know. She's an oddball, but old Brenda is. But yeah, so in May of 2013, Brenda resurfaced in, guess where? Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we haven't been able to sort out all the details in full, but it's something like this. She wound up in jail in Santa Rosa County, Florida.
She was not in Santa Rosa County. The warrant was from Santa Rosa County.
Oh, okay. Okay. So she winds up getting
in a different county. I forgot the name of it.
Okay. Anyways, but she has been arrested. She's in jail for probation violation, forgery, giving a false name to law enforcement. So she's gone from respectable housewife and devoted mother to being kind of a ne'er-do-well. So the police didn't know too much about her. They did know that some years prior, she'd stolen a woman's identity and had been living under that name for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And I guess at this point, they demanded to know who she really was and that she was facing possibly some real jail time. She finally fessed up to who she was.
Yeah.
And this, as it turns out, was a bombshell.
Right. So what happened to Brenda Heist?
Hmm.
The details, they are pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of it's going to come from Brenda herself, and she is anything but a reliable narrator.
Yeah.
In the days after her discovery, she told police a number of stories, one of which may have involved amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
But what was settled on was that Brenda had been living homeless on the streets of South Florida under the quote unquote assumed name, Kelsey Leanne Smith, working odd jobs and struggling to get by.
Mm.
This is more or less the story that has stuck. You will still see short little write-ups about the case that use this. But this is really not the truth. It's something kind of stranger.
Yeah, it kind of is. So going back to the day in spring 2002, the bench in the park in Lititz?
Yeah,
Lititz, Pennsylvania? Yeah.
I looked for a pronunciation because it kind of sounds odd when you say it that way.
But Lititz.
Lititz. Yeah.
I'm going to call it Lititz.
Lititz?
Lititz. Lititz. Okay. Or Lititz.
If you're from Lancaster County, just go ahead and write us and let us know.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, or call us or something. But anyway, so she's sitting on the bench, and those three sketchy looking people that approached her on the bench, turns out that they were real. The witness had not hallucinated that, was not lying. They were three hitchhiking hobos. So she sat on the park bench, and she was crying, of course, because she'd had a bad day. This trio approaches her to offer a little comfort. When she told them her tale of woe, they felt bad for her, and they offered her a place among them that they were planning to hitchhike down to the land of gators and bath salts, which would be where else but Florida.
Yeah. Florida woman.
I don't know if bath salts were actually yet a thing at that in 2002. Were they?
That's true. I don't know.
I hope not. I don't think so.
So on a quote-unquote whim, Brenda left with the three. Details are pretty thin in this period, but it appears Brenda and the trio made it down to Southern Florida and then parted ways. That's what happened. And times were tough for Brenda. According to her, she lived under bridges and ate food from fast food dumpsters. She, of course, we can't verify this. This is all Brenda's own words, but the public record seems to back it up. She was pretty far off the radar at this point. She claims to have been homeless, more or less kind of on and off for 11 years, but this is really not true. There's some pretty good evidence to the contrary. That said, what the actual truth is kind of difficult to run down. It looks like sometime in 2003, she took up with a man who lived an itinerant lifestyle out of his camper. Sometimes called an RV. I'm not really sure which one. There is a difference, but he was known to be kind of a fancy dresser, which caused people in his life to refer to him as Thurston, which is a reference to the millionaire character from the TV show Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Brenda.
Remember that show.
So therefore, she became known as Lovey, which was the character Thurston Howell's pet name for his wife Eunice on the show.
The Lovey. Okay. So she's living in an RV or a camper with some dude who dresses fancy, which is so weird. I know. So what did they do? So said, they didn't have a fixed address. So they traveled around Florida, taking odd jobs, doing whatever they could to support themselves with under the table work. And apparently Thurston Howell taught Brenda the ropes of living off the radar, which is how she managed to stay vanished all those years. Because remember, the police are still looking for her. But, you know, actually, though, we never have found out exactly who this guy was, nor have we found out why he was living off the radar like some sort of fugitive.
Yeah, at least I didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if police know.
Yeah,
he certainly hasn't come up in any of the reporting that I followed on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a crime, I guess, to live out of a camper and wear fancy clothes.
No, he may have just liked living that way. I think that he was, you know, what we say in the trade is a, you know, service avoidant. He wasn't really looking for work that he would have to give a what do you call it?
A social security number. Yeah.
Provide proof of citizenship. That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to say anything too bad about that guy because I just don't know anything about him.
Well, you never know. I mean, he might have disappeared to start a new life himself, but probably for a different reason, probably to escape a few warrants or something like that.
That'd be my guess if I had to guess, but I don't have any evidence for that. So I'm not going to
posit it. I'll try not to be so judgmental. Okay.
It tends to be, I think most people who are like that are running from something, but
probably.
All.
Yeah.
The main job that Brenda, AKA Levy, took was as an under the table cleaning lady.
Okay.
Frequently what they would do, her and Thurston, is they would go around to various marinas around Florida. And at some point, she came under the employ of a woman named Kelsey Leanne Smith.
That's a familiar name.
So they go around to these marinas and they'd offer to clean people's boats. And just sort of like, you know, while you're moored here, I can clean that up for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was just a way to be like kind of picking up work, like day laborer type work.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So she came under the employ of Kelsey Leanne Smith. That's the woman whose driver's license she stole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the woman must have been a pretty close match and not really keeping track of her identity or whatever, because Brenda managed to use this ID for years and even served a short jail sentence as Kelsey Leanne Smith.
Oh, so Kelsey's got a record, huh?
She had multiple traffic violations and other citations under that name, which always makes me wonder if she was getting traffic violations. Like, I don't know. I guess Kelsey Leanne Smith must have been a pretty upstanding citizen. You'd imagine if she got pulled over while Brenda was in jail, they'd be like, aren't you supposed to be in prison right now?
Yeah, I know, right?
But I guess it never came up. I mean, this does happen.
That's so weird. I mean, you think that, I don't know how long your a license stays valid in Florida. Is it 2 years, 4 years?
No, I
maybe didn't. Longer.
Back then, either a lot of that stuff's changed recently.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah. So upon her release, Lovey, as she was known now, was she didn't stick to her parole. She did go back to working as a housekeeper. She didn't even go that far. She stayed in Florida, which, I mean, come on, if you're on parole and you're out free, just check in with your parole officer. It wasn't even that long a parole.
Yeah.
She blew that off basically straight away from what I understand. But it's in this time that she met Sandra Forrester.
Okay.
Sandra is probably the clearest window that I found into Brenda's life in this time period.
Yeah, they did actually hang out quite a bit. And Sandra was willing to be interviewed by the media. She told CNN that she had met Brenda Heist in 2010 when Heist worked as a cleaner for her in her Florida home, and she called herself Lovey Smith instead of Kelsey Leanne Smith. And she said, quote, she actually moved in with me about 6 months after she started cleaning the house. That's from her interview with CNN. So yeah, she was at least 6 months there. She was not homeless. And Sandra Forrester even went so far as to employ Lovey as a babysitter for her son.
Yeah.
So that obviously was a little trust there between them.
She trusted her.
Yeah. And at first they would share some small talk and stuff, but not much more when Brenda Heist would show up. But over time they became more personal, and Lovey eventually opened up to Sandra about her life. Ooh.
Yeah.
And but of course it was mostly BS. Yeah,
some of it was. It's hard to say. You never really know with Lovey. She mixed in a lot of truths with those fictions.
Yeah,
but we'll find out.
Plenty of fiction. But
so this is a quote from Sandra when she was on CNN. She told me she had a bad relationship with her boyfriend, and I started to feel bad for her. She described it as a sort of abusive situation, saying he was maybe an alcoholic. And I just let her know that my door was always open for her. I felt bad for her. So I guess Thurston was kind of a jerk.
That could be it, or it could be Thurston was perfectly well. You know, it could be that, or it could just be that maybe Lovey, aka Brenda, actually just was clever enough to tell, you know, really, you know, heartrending stories like this to generate sympathy for herself. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Lovey took Forrester up on her offer and moved into her home for about 11 months.
Mm.
And during this time, Sondra asked her more questions about her past. And she told CNN, "When I did ask, she made it clear that she never had kids and she didn't want any."
Yeah.
That's interesting. Lovey also told Sondra Forrester that she was a widow.
Yeah, I think she also told Sondra that she had been pregnant once, but the baby miscarried.
Yeah, so yeah, that sounds right.
If I recall correctly, yeah. So she told all sorts of stories. So let's see what else. She told Sondra that she'd been married for like 20 years to a man named Lee. So that's true enough.
Yeah.
And he had worked for the Marriott, assumed the hotels.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's true or not. And let's see what else.
I actually could not verify that either. I do know that Lee works in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he had something to do with Marriott.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see what else. They had traveled around and visited amazing places and he had died. I don't know. Well, too bad she lost her husband of 20 years who died. But yeah, that's sad. But you notice there's a common theme here that I was going to have a baby, but I miscarried. Oh, I had this wonderful husband, but he died.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Every one of them tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah. That's Lovey's MO.
Yeah.
Lovey used Sondra's computer frequently, and she had her own Facebook page and went to an internet dating website frequently.
Huh, yeah.
According to Sondra, she had a whole life and a small community around her.
Hmm.
Now, remember, this is 2012. Heist would be discovered by police less than a year after she moved out of Sondra's home. But 2013 was a year that was not kind to Lovey.
Yeah, something happened there, it seems like. Because Lovey turned up looked a little bit different. Yeah, because when she was finally revealed by police, Brenda Heist's appearance was shocking to Sondra Forrester and to everybody else, really, who had known her. But Sondra was like the last known person who had actually seen her most recently. And the woman she had known before, this is really, less than a year before. She looked nothing like the woman that was here now. The woman now looked worn, weathered, and just frail. She looks really kind of emaciated. She looks really old, older. Yeah, much older than she should look. She looks like she's about friggin' 80 years old. And she turned it, but yeah, she this was where she turned herself in Key Largo, Florida.
Yeah, that's where she turned herself in for the warrants that she had out.
So what the hell happened? Because I've seen pictures of her with Sondra, and it looks like they're, you know, having girls' nights out at a bar or whatever. And Brenda looks okay. I mean, you know, she looks pretty good. She doesn't look like she's 80 years old.
No. When you look at pictures, I mean, granted, it had been a decade at that point, but look at her, you know, like her driver's license pictures from Pennsylvania, and she looks pretty well preserved. She's healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe a little meth. I don't know. But
I mean, it sucks to speculate on that stuff, but that will age you up, man.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah.
So Sondra said at the time, and as a quote, "I was absolutely shocked when I saw that photo. She had deteriorated significantly since the last time she was seen around here, which was, you know, the middle of 2012, the end of 2012. That's not been very long, you know, 7 months or so."
Unquote. Well, 7 months. Yeah, to go totally down the toilet. What the hell? That's a mystery.
Yeah. I think, you know, we don't know all the details. And I think after she moved out with Sondra, things went bad for her pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, I guess she should have been used to it by this point. But but over the year 2013, more details slowly came out about Brenda. One small story that's kind of an attention grabber was that it turns out Brenda was actually pretty close with Sondra Forrester's son. Remember the kid that she was looking after? She was about the same age as Brenda's son was when she abandoned her family. 10 years before. So maybe that's why she wanted to hang with him, but it might explain the bond. Apparently in some of their discussions, she had even revealed her true name.
Yeah.
To Sondra Forrester's son, which would be a risky move, but apparently she trusted him.
After Brenda's identity came out, apparently Sondra Forrester took her son aside to tell him the truth about the woman that he'd been calling Miss Lovey so that he wouldn't learn about it, you know, from the TV news or whatever. But he told her he already knew her last name was Heist and some details about her life in Pennsylvania that even Sondra hadn't known.
That's
weird. The two were talking.
They were. I don't know. And it sounds like, it's oddly the kid is, she told him more truth than anybody else. I don't know why. Again, this Brenda is, I don't know, she's an odd bird, I think.
Strange, yeah.
But while Lovey is off having, you know, living the life of Riley as a homeless person in Florida, making friends and, you know, and living it up down there, the husband, son, and daughter that she had left behind in 2002 were still, of course, wondering what had happened to her. They were wondering if something truly, truly terrible had happened. Mm-hmm. And Lee Heist, of course, never really got out from under the cloud of suspicion around. And her kids took some abuse too. He said, I saw a press conference, I think I mentioned it earlier, where he said that there were people that he knew who stopped allowing their kids to play with his kids because of him and what they believed about him. So it was tough on the poor kids, and he was a little upset. And the family, husband and kids there, they were and still are angry at Brenda. Which I can sort of understand.
Yeah, I can too, honestly.
Yeah, what she did was tremendously irresponsible.
Yeah, I'd really like this story to end with them mending fences, but I get how that anger isn't gonna dry up and blow away anytime soon.
Well, the thing about it is like, if nothing else, what they should have learned or probably did learn about this whole thing is that Brenda is a tremendous flake. And do you really want to mend fences with this person and have her in your life anyway? Yeah.
I really tried to write this without getting too far into just really taking it out on Brenda. You know, as a parent, I have a bias toward not thinking very highly of people who aren't there for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, with that in mind, I do try to keep an open mind that this was something, that she had a mental breakdown and this was something really hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you do have to wonder. She volunteered her real identity to the police. Things hadn't been going well for her. I was wondering if maybe she thought that this was somehow going to be an out for her.
Think the family would just take her right back in and welcome, just love the crap out of her.
Give her a place to stay. Forgive her.
No.
I don't know. That's a pretty dark place, but I mean,
sadly, it did not work out that way.
It didn't. No. So here's a quote from Morgan. That's Brenda's daughter. And she would have been 20 in 2013 when she said this. Us on the same CNN episode I watched. I don't think she deserves to see me. I don't really have any plans on going to see her. I can't believe she would do that because she was a good mom. She was great. But I mean, I guess something happened. Something snapped in her.
Unquote. Yeah, I suppose unquote. So. Yeah, I tend to think that maybe what it is that her life with the husband and the kids, mm-hmm. perhaps for her, that actually was the real aberration in her life. Maybe most of her life she'd just been sort of floating around and just, and all of a sudden meets a guy and does a family thing for a while. But then, eventually when that started to go south, she just went straight back to living life the way she kind of had before. I don't know.
I don't know that that's the case. I'd be loath to hypothesize that. I kind of think though, maybe on a similar line though, as you, that I think that Brenda staked a lot of her identity on being a mom, being there for her kids, being, sort of part of their life and being the housewife and all these things like that. And when it looked like it was really going to come apart, that was a break. Everything fell apart.
Okay, this chapter is done. So chuck it. Let's go on down the road.
And it may not have been quite like that, but she'd staked so much of her identity on being this person that she just didn't have the strength to rebuild that identity when it came undone. And I've seen people like that, who are like, had a job. Let's just say, for example, like they were a lawyer and then stuff went wrong with that. And rather than being like, okay, I had to declare bankruptcy, had to, move, had to get reestablished, take the bar again, whatever. They just couldn't do it. They just couldn't get it back. And to the point where, even talking about it is a trauma. Mm-hmm. I've known people like that. And I wonder if maybe that was what it was like for her.
Well, that's happened to me. I lost my law license and became a stripper. But no, just kidding. But let's talk a little bit.
Happened to me when I lost my fishing license.
Yeah, that's a blow. But so back to Morgan, the daughter. Of course, she went out. She spoke about it a little bit on Twitter, and as you can imagine, she was less diplomatic on Twitter because everybody is on Twitter, right? What did she say? She said she hopes her mom, quote, rots in hell. Yeah, well, that's Twitter for you. But the damage to her family, the kids, and the husband seems to have been pretty immense. And you know, I can't imagine myself, one of my parents, just disappearing like that. I mean, I just, my parents, I got to, you know, for all their faults, and they didn't have that many faults, but they were human beings. But still, they were always there. Nobody flaked out. Nobody divorced anybody. Nobody skipped town, you know, you take that stuff for granted as a kid, but, you know, I have a lot to be grateful to my parents for.
Yeah.
So mom and dad, if you're in heaven listening to this podcast, and of course everybody in heaven listens to the shocking details, I'm sure. Thanks, mom and dad, for not flaking out and disappearing like Brenda freaking Heist did.
Yeah. Well, I think especially, I mean, I don't know. I think especially because she was so involved in her kid's life. I think that was a real major blow to them. And that, and that it happened at the same time as this divorce, which is a lot of change. From what I can tell, I think the kids came out pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you know, human beings are built to survive adversity. We do it. We've been doing it for millions of years. So, there's still some wounds there. I mean, as I said, you know, Lee Heist mentioned that other parents wouldn't let their kids play with his kids, and people were shunning him and stuff. And and he seemed to be, when I said some of his remarks, is like, you know, the real focus of his anger is not even so much about what happened to him, but what happened to his kids.
Yeah.
You know, really upsets him still.
Yeah.
Over this. Yeah. So he's still got a little bit of a grudge there. Yeah.
Yep. I can't blame him too much.
No.
So a detective from Pennsylvania named Schofield, he spoke to Heist at length after she turned herself in. And he was quoted as saying, this is his quote here, "She was very emotional. She hung her head. She's ashamed. She was crying when I met with her. She knows what she did was completely wrong. But all that while, she'd never made one effort to call or contact her family at all."
Yeah, weird. But maybe she was ashamed of herself for flaking out like that, and she just couldn't face them, I think.
I mean, I think that can happen. You end up in a hole so deep, what are you going to do? Be like, sorry, it's been 5 years. Sorry, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, I know. Probably she wanted to, actually. But just like I said, she was probably afraid to.
Yeah, I don't have the quote here, but she said something like that to some effect. I think on Dr. Phil.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. So she of course did have some trouble with the law. She had to serve a few months for identity theft. Mm-hmm. But after she got out, she did some press. But of course, she's still kind of evasive. And it seems like the interviewers don't really press her about things such as timelines and specifics of her time as a missing person.
Right.
But, you know, I suppose most dear average reporter is just out for a good soundbite or two, right?
Right, right.
Rather than actually, you know, trying to build a definitive biography of her missing days and years.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know.
It really bugged me listening to these guys interview her and be like, no, ask her, getting her down.
What years
were you homeless? When did you arrive here?
I think you would like to see a little more curiosity out of the media sometimes, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're just more like, you know, why did you leave? How did you feel? Did you ever think about your kids?
Yeah. And
I would have liked to have some understanding of what happened to her in the months after she left Forrester's house.
Yeah.
Sandra Forrester. As you know, the pictures show, it was a difficult time. I believe she was living outside. And as we've speculated here, there may have been some amount of substance abuse. But it really seems like from Forrester's description, right, from the way Sandra talks about her, she kind of had her life together a little bit in this, you know, 2010 to 2012 era, and you know, had kind of moved on and was living a fairly regular life. But man, the photos seem to have showed that it was a hard decade that she lived between 2010 and 2013.
I would say more than a decade, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I would say more like a couple of decades at least.
Yeah,
which leads me to my theory about what happened.
Okay, go for it. You know,
time travel.
There you go.
I think. Think about this. So she's in 2002. She's sitting on a bench. She's approached by these people. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the woman, it was two men and a woman. I believe the woman was her. transported from the future to the past. And because really, when you think about it, I mean, why the hell else would she actually just go with these total strangers mm-hmm. and go off to start a new life? It's bizarre to say, mm-hmm. but you know, if future Brenda, approaches present Brenda and says, look, you need to come with me. We're going to do some, I've done some time traveling. You're going to need to do some too to help save humanity from the apocalypse. And so you need to come with us now. And, you know, off they go. And she putzes around pretending to clean houses in Florida while she's undergoing training as a, you know, a time bandit or whatever. And eventually, right after she leaves Sandra Forrester's house, she steps into the Wayback Machine and bounces back about 20 years and then does her thing. And then, and but then ages forward naturally. And so, yeah, by the time she's actually, you know, picked up by the police, she actually looks like she's friggin' 75, 80 years old. So somebody needs to, waterboard old Brenda and find out what the hell actually happened. But yeah. And where is this time machine? I want to know. Yeah.
Brenda's a complicated person, complicated figure. Yeah, I think there are many things, negative things you could say about, but I don't think she deserves to be waterboarded, Jeff.
Well, probably not. And size with, she strikes me as the kind of person that you could waterboard the crap out of her and she's still tell you BS stories. But it's just,
actually, I kind of wonder if this, I should say that when we talk about this, I kind of wonder how I think she's capable of using lies to manipulate people. Mm-hmm. I also think that her mind might be a little wonky.
Yeah.
She may not have clear memories for one reason or the other, mental reasons, you know, substance abuse related or just other forms of trauma that she actually can't really recall all what she was up to in those 10 years.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, just that last year of hard living on meth or whatever the hell she was doing probably did do a number on her brain.
Brenda went on Dr. Phil and she told that dude that she really wanted to see her kids again.
Yeah.
And that was 2014. And as near as I can tell, though it may not have made it to the press, that happened.
You know, that's too bad in a sense. But at the same time, if the kids don't really want to see her, I get it, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the sad thing is I'm not sure that even Brenda Heiss knows why she left and why she never got in touch with her children that whole time.
Yeah.
Like we said, I think maybe she felt that she'd rendered herself irredeemable. There wasn't any point in letting them know that she was okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe she felt that they wouldn't have cared, that they would have moved on and been happier and better off without her.
Yeah. She probably felt just supremely ashamed and embarrassed too. And just didn't want to face her kids. You know,
yeah,
it's sad. It's really a sad story. I know I've said harsh things about poor Brenda, but it's just the whole thing is a sad story.
I would have liked if things worked out better for her. You know,
yeah,
I've got some criticisms of her, but I would have liked things to gone smoother for her.
No, that's generally my stance towards humanity in general. I want everybody to do okay, with a few rare exceptions. But you know, I mean, pretty much
a couple people out there.
Yeah, but but poor Brenda. I suspect that Brenda, there was something a little bit wrong with her from the get go. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, her stable, loving family life might have been the real aberration in her life.
Yeah,
and but. You know, on the other hand, what the hell do I know?
What the hell does anyone know? I really hoped I could get further into this one. It turned out to be a little bit impenetrable.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting. It's not too often someone goes missing for that long in the modern era in the United States of America.
And then turns up again. I know.
And turns back up. Yeah, that's pretty rare.
Well, it just goes to show you all you Maura Murray fans out there that she's probably going to show up one of these days too, you know, and looking a little peaked. Yeah, stranger things have happened.
She'll turn up in Florida.
Oh, everybody does. Yeah. I
think that's about the end of our episode today, Joe. I think we ran it down.
I think so anyway. So, but it is unique though that somebody disappears like this without a trace. And yeah.
Yeah. I don't have too many other stories like that.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this week. Of course, you know, stay tuned to hear our email and all that good stuff from Tess. And, and of course, as always, we're going to beg you to leave us a rating and review. Good rating and a good review.
Please do it.
Yes. So, yeah. Other than that, I'm about fresh out. Got any more?
I got nothing. We'll see you guys next week.
Ta-ta.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter @ShockingDetails. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Oh, hang on a second. We got a transiting cat again.
Oh.
Yep, there she goes. Okay. I love it. She just goes and looks out the window for a little bit, and then it's like, okay, enough of that. Back to sleep. Silly cat. Okay, sorry about that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.